Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 74, Episode 3 of The Daily Zeitgeist! Yeah. Podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Wednesday, March 20th, 2019. My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. There's no Zeit too big, no gang too small. If you need hot takes, just call Jack and Miles.
Woo!
Podcast Rangers, Jack and Miles, when there's danger.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh, really supported that with your diaphragm.
Chills.
And
are you the masked singer?
Joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
And I will remember your Miles of Gray on the day you were judged by the Zeitgeist cast. And I will rejoice in your Frago takes with the cane to the sky like blunt shall pass.
Wow. None shall pass, a.k.a. ASAP Rock. Thank you to Justin Brackett at Mr. Fide 1 for that one. Yo, I love that instrumental. I mean, the song's cool too, but the instrumental really gets me grooving.
I don't think I know that song.
Oh,
but
man.
I really enjoy it.
Wait till I play. Yeah, I mean, ooh.
My AKA was courtesy of Samuel Kane.
Ooh.
At T Man Reaver for some reason. All right, on Twitter. And we're thrilled to be joined by the hilarious and talented comedian and podcast host, Sara June.
Thrilled. Absolutely thrilled. Thank you so
thrilled.
Much.
Thrilled.
Absolutely.
I have thrills
thrilled.
Going through
thrills.
My body.
Thrills, chills.
Thrills, chills. Later on, some spills.
I got some AKAs. I got I got a little bit of...
Yeah, you got something written down.
I got Sarah Croft June Raider.
Oh, okay.
fucking yeah. Rules.
Huh? Uh-huh. I got a little bit of Super June.
Okay.
Super June
okay.
Is a public safety hazard. Please don't try and visit the Super June. It's a Super Bloom.
Oh, Super Bloom. Yep.
Yes. Miles is looking at me like he's really
like, huh?
Trying.
Wait, is it a...
I cool, because also
it a
I know...
public healthy?
It is.
Healthy Saver?
At a Healthy Saver at Lake Elsinore in Southern California, they are, quote, Disneyland-sized crowds, and they have shut down Lake Elsinore. You are not allowed to drive there
just
anymore.
There's
not enough
through the
bathrooms.
Fields.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, there's just not enough. They weren't expecting that many fucking people. Usually they have way more flowers than people, And right now, they have about as many people.
See, if you went like 2 years ago, you caught the wave.
Yeah,
because back then it was like a few people bothered to go, and I think now people are this year like, is that thing going to happen from Instagram this year?
It's the Instagram thing, and it's like, yo, if you don't go, what are you even doing?
And for people who don't know, the super bloom, because California, Southern California specifically, we don't get any water.
Yeah. Right.
That when it does, the poppies bloom in certain areas, and it's breathtaking.
I mean, by far, unquestionably, the best state flower, which is the golden poppy,
the
California poppy.
Shout out to golden
poppy. It's neon orange. It's beautiful, and it grows in these, it's got like kind of blue-green leaves, and it grows in these huge swaths, and it just looks like somebody spilled a bunch of orange dust on the hillside. Ugh. It's crazy. I mean, it's really, truly beautiful.
When you said super June, I thought you meant like the term like of affection
food?
Used like for no in Persian they call you the
June.
Yeah, and so I was like, oh, you're the super.
I am the super,
super
June.
Yeah, look at you.
Yeah,
super
that's
June.
Me, sorry, June.
Yeah.
I also have a reboot of June starring Timothy Chalamet. I went for it.
There you go.
And it worked.
It worked.
Yeah, stuck the landing.
All the risks you have taken have paid off. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
It's so good to have you back.
That's my moonshot.
It's your June shot.
My June shot.
There we go.
Just keep coming.
Yeah. Whoa,
that was like a slow
bombing run on that one.
I thought that was me burping into the mic or something. That was a weird noise.
So what have you been up to? How are you? It's great
good.
To have you back.
It is one more day. It is Çarşamba Suri. It is one more day until Eid-i Nowruz, the Persian New Year, first day of spring.
Oh.
Favorite holiday,
Happy
best
New
holiday.
Year's Eve.
Thank you so much.
Technically, this comes out tomorrow. Does that still hold up?
That's what I'm doing it for.
Oh,
yes.
Sorry. I want to make sure. I didn't want to.
No.
Today,
Wednesday, March 20th,
boom.
Is the day before the spring equinox, and it's my favorite holiday because it's when the flowers come.
Oh, yeah. You came in with flowers, too, today.
I came in with flowers for Anna because she has her half scene going, which is like this table where you put all this stuff, and it's a bunch of different stuff that begins with S, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, I'm on the table, and I got other stuff on the table. You got,
sativa.
Like, an apple, sativa, mm-hmm. Sara, you know? Mm-hmm. You got sprig. You got
Sarlacc toy.
Quoi.
Dang.
I put some quoi on the table. it's great. It's really nice.
Fantastic.
Is that part of the tradition, S?
Yes.
In particular?
It is seven items that begin with the letter sin. So it's called Heft Sin. So my deep cut, AKA, was, you know, I'm the Hashtom scene on your half scene. I'm the eighth scene, baby.
Oh, Sif Sirkes
and Jet Semenu Sara. That's right. That's for some of you.
Sounded cool.
Shout out to all the Iranian Zeit gang out there who caught that.
Yeah. Well, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of things we're talking about today. We're going to talk about how completely fucked you are if you've ever had a single
even
soda.
One.
Just one. We're going to talk about MoviePass being back for some reason. We're going to talk about Devin Nunez suing his mom. We're going to talk about how the Florida House of Representatives is circumventing the bill allowing felons to vote. We're going to talk about New Zealand's response to the terror attacks and just the continued fallout from the college admissions scandal. Just generally, more like my... Now that I'm paying attention to college admissions, just how completely
early,
fucked
buddy.
It is. Yeah, exactly.
There's not going to be any college by the time your kids get
that's
old
true,
enough.
That's true.
They'll just take a pill.
Right. That's right.
They'll just
in
vape
pill
an education.
Yeah. What do you want, a master's degree in philosophy? Yeah. Here. Oh, wait, no. Mix that with this one.
Yeah, that's exactly what people would want to make more practical, getting a master's degree in philosophy.
Yeah, by ingesting it.
Gosh, if only I could have a philosophy
degree. You already
degree.
Fucking vape a master's degree in philosophy.
Yeah, that's
right. Already the case.
Yeah.
Vape form.
Let them know.
But first, sorry, Jim, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
My search history... You wanna know the real deal, mm-hmm. the real me, what's in my real search history and not something that I came up with,
yes.
you know, to do a bit?
Not a bit, nah.
How to kill soil fungus.
Wait.
I got a garden bed and it's full of soil fungus and I had to find out, because nothing will grow in it.
What's soil fungus? Can you see it?
Yeah, it's like white stuff in the soil.
Oh, that shit is, okay, that makes, that shit looks like fungus.
Yeah, it looks
soil
like fungus and
right.
it grows in the soil. So I have to put a... I put a clear sheet over it and let it get super hot, which, you know, is going to happen in 2 days. And so, I
got
to get it really, really hot in there to kill the fungi. Yeah.
Okay.
They like it warm, but they don't like it hot.
Yeah. Exactly.
So just dealing with some soil problems over on Casa June.
Yeah. You normally garden stuff?
I'm a, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We talked about this. Me and your mom.
Garden
hose, garden bros.
Garden hose before garden bros.
Dude, my arugula is flowering. It makes these little white flowers. They're so pretty.
Oh, man.
And we got kale. We got cauliflower. We got arugula. We got radishes. I got some radishes going. I grew my first radishes. Very exciting.
Got a little taqueria going, you know?
If you don't garden in Southern California, you're missing out.
Wait, are you gardening?
No. I do not garden.
Like, hold the fuck up.
But if you don't, because the growing season just grows.
The growing season is 10 months.
Oh, it's amazing.
Crazy.
Yeah. You just accidentally grow stuff.
No,
here.
I grew stuff. I mean, I grew all this stuff over. I'm sorry, like, for people who are in the polar vortex, but I grew this stuff in the winter.
Yeah, wow. Right.
But,
yeah.
You know, it's going to be 100 degrees for about 3 months.
And that rain, in addition everything. To causing a super bloom, just causes everything to look like Hawaii now.
Yeah.
It's weird to drive through this Pulvita Pass, especially because normally that's just brown. And dusty, and I'm like, where the fuck am I? The Northwest?
Yeah. Wait, is this a garden like in the ground, or is it like a bed?
I have two 8-foot-long raised beds, and I'm about to make some raised rows in my other garden. I mean, I should just have a fucking gardening podcast.
Yeah.
I just built a big compost pen.
Wow.
Yeah. And I cut down a whole bunch of shit in my yard. I weeded and I put all the weeds in the compost because I haven't seeded yet. Don't get on my ass.
Right, right.
Compost people, you know.
I don't know about compost squad out there.
I went to Portland and they were like, you know, I tried to like throw away an apple core and the person I was staying with was like, oh, you know, we compost actually. And I was like, okay, cool. And she was like, I know, it's like that Portlandia sketch where it's, you know, here's where you put your plastic and here's where you put your paper and here's where you compost this and that. And I was like, bitch, I know what compost is.
Yeah.
Like, we have compost in Los Angeles.
Like, I'm down. I'm compost.
Yeah, like
gang.
I lived in Austin. Like, yeah. I had a guy bike to my home every week with a big bucket, pick up my kitchen scraps, take them to a community garden. Like, that's how compost friendly Austin is.
You ain't shit, Portland.
You ain't shit, Portland.
You hear me?
Damn.
Yeah, they're called
compost Twitter to come for you.
Compost right. peddlers. Get it?
Oh,
peddlers?
Shit, yeah. Yeah, and then do they peddle their wares to the gardens too?
They take your kitchen scraps to a big community garden.
But I'm sorry, are they flipping that for money?
No.
Where they're missing out.
Well, no, I mean, I pay them to do that.
To take your shit away.
Yeah, I pay them to take my shit away, and then they give me free compost. Well, it's not free. I paid for it.
Right.
You know.
Oh, they'll take it. They make compost, bring you back some ready-made compost.
Yeah.
When they come by your house, do they ring a bell and say, bring out your dead?
No.
I'm not dead. I feel happy.
What is something you think is underrated?
Underrated? I just started watching Larry Charles's Dangerous World of Comedy, and oh boy, I can't believe no one told me to watch that before.
Someone, one of our guests a few weeks ago
said Johan?
No.
Johan Miranda was on Larry Charles's Dangerous World of Comedy.
Oh, it was Atsuko Okatsuka.
Oh, I love Atsuko Okatsuka.
Atsuko's it's really good.
Dude, I got so high and I watched the first episode, and this isn't a spoiler. It's about the first episode is about comedians in war zones.
Right.
And so they talk to some comedians in Iraq and they talk about like these guys that ran a prank show in Iraq. Where they were like, tried to prank other Iraqi celebrities into thinking they were going to jail. And then they were like, just kidding.
Really funny.
And then they go to Liberia. And I didn't know shit about Liberia. And basically, Liberia is the wild fucking West.
Yeah.
Like, it's just gangs fighting gangs and all these incredibly crazy warlords that are cannibalistic and they do ritualistic killings. Yes, and they have the wild nicknames. And so there's this guy named General Butt Naked and like... So there's
General Mosquito Spray.
It's pretty violent, but then on the show, they verbally describe some even more horrific violent acts that they don't show you.
Sure.
But the verbal description is so rough. Man, I did not sleep for a couple days.
Damn, like,
Liberia is not anything to fuck around with. And there's comedians, there's women doing comedy in Liberia.
Right. What's that like as a comedian when you're like, man, in Austin, they come get your compost scraps.
Yeah.
And you're like,
I'm like, oh, I got to step up. Because out here, I'm like, I don't want to drive to the valley for a month. And then like these women are like, oh, yeah, you know, I saw some really horrific shit and all my friends died. Man. And like, you know, God, you just got to make people laugh because we're very lucky that we didn't get killed.
Yeah. So Larry, the premise of the show, for anybody who didn't hear the previous episode where we mentioned it, is Larry Charles is the guy who directed Borat and was the main person on Seinfeld. And
also Religulous Boo.
Oh, Religulous.
Just a comedy luminary, has done a documentary series where he goes around to other cultures and sees what comedy is in those different cultures. And a lot of them are like very dark and violent places. And doesn't he interview General Butt Naked?
Yes. Yeah, that's the one in the first episode, the Liberia
episode. He is doing too much.
He's out here.
He's doing Vice videos. I see General Butt Naked everywhere.
Now. He says he's reformed. Oh, okay. He's an ex-warlord. He talks about how he just, like, after killing literally hundreds of people with his hands,
right,
like, had a come to Jesus moment and was like, maybe I shouldn't kill humans anymore. Maybe I shouldn't kill children.
Dang.
Yeah. It's really intense. And then the later episodes, he's got some stuff about more minorities in the U.S. L.A. comedian who I love, Johan Miranda, is on episode 4. He's an undocumented immigrant. He talks about being an undocumented immigrant on stage. You know, he's like a DACA guy.
Mm-hmm.
So it was great to see him. I got real excited. I didn't know he was going to be on.
Oh,
and I was
Hi,
Johan! It's really good. You know, they talk to some like Muslim comedians and what that's like. But, you know, stand-up is such a weird American thing. Stand-up is very American. In any other culture in the world, to go on stage and talk about your personal life and your family is considered embarrassing or dangerous.
Right, or
selfish. So it's really cool to see, like, you know, American culture is America's an empire, and we're a cultural empire, too. And, like, it's so weird to see, like, Iraqis doing stand-up comedy.
Right,
you know,
right.
Like, that's an American thing. It's an American art form. And it's very, very cool to see other cultures, like, take on it, basically.
Mm.
Very interesting.
So put that in your queue.
Underrated. Larry Charles's Dangerous World of Comedy.
What is something you think is overrated?
Kathy Griffin.
Okay.
Get out of here.
Done.
Get the fuck out of here.
Is something
Kathy
new with
Griffin.
Her?
Kathy Griffin. So you know how like this Muslim girl at NYU that was like, you know, like at a vigil for the New Zealand
attack. Oh, who pulled
attack,
up to Chelsea Clinton?
Pulled up to Chelsea Clinton and, you know, right, had strong words for like an extremely rich woman.
Essentially,
you know,
saying like, because you hopped on the Ilhan Omar's comments are anti-Semitic, you're feeding Islamophobia
by
saying that.
Which is, in my opinion, absolutely true. And Chelsea Clinton's like, Chelsea Clinton straight up hits her with the, I'm sorry
you feel
that way.
I remember mm-hmm. Chelsea, like, ooh,
oh, boy. And she didn't lay hands on Chelsea Clinton. That's a saint, you know?
Yeah. Right.
But Kathy Griffin tweeted at that woman, at the Muslim woman, who was getting hate mail. She was getting all these hate emails, and she tweeted. She was like, you know, people are bullying me online. It's whatever. Kathy Griffin quote tweets her and is like, you think this is bullying? I'll show you bullying.
Off.
You fucking pussy. Kathy Griffin called this woman a pussy online.
What?
Kathy Griffin out. Out.
Holy.
Out.
I mean, yeah. One, it's like you took the wild risk with your decapitated head and effigy photo.
And you cried in public.
And you cried in public. Meanwhile, this woman is being like, 50 people were killed in a mosque, in two mosques.
Today.
And we're combating Islamophobia and people being disingenuous about people's commentary around Israel's policies.
Yep.
Saying that's anti-Semitic is feet. Wow.
Yeah.
That's not... okay.
Kathy Griffin out. Like, no, I don't have the patience. You know, this lady...
I mean, she hasn't been doing much recently anyway.
She, you know... Like, has she been a comedian for a long time? Yes.
Yeah.
Like, does she need to be bullying a woman in mourning on Twitter? No, bitch. Get
probably
a
not.
Job.
Yeah, probably not.
Probably not.
What is a myth? What's something people think is true you know to be false?
Something that I think people think is true that I know to be false. Well, this is kind of a big one. I'm going to lay a big one
okay.
on you. I think a big myth that is maybe used to be true and is no longer true is that entertainment has to be controlled by huge corporations just because they're the only things we've ever known to make entertainment.
Sure.
But now that we have the internet, people are like, whoa, you can just make stuff and people will watch it, you know? And
yeah.
Like, now that we have Patreon, we have all these like independent creators, you know?
Yeah.
And what YouTube kind of used to be, which was like, just make your shit and if people like it, then they'll give you money.
Yep.
But I think now that that's not really... It's not true anymore that you need to be like a huge evil corporation to make TV. And what I've been working on recently is I'm working with this channel to be called Means TV that they like want to be an entertainment streaming platform online, but it's not a corporation. It's a worker cooperative. It's a worker owned cooperative. And they want to like make the kind of shit that you'll never see on Amazon because Amazon will never have a documentary about how Amazon is evil. And like
Netflix
will never have a documentary about how like the billionaires that own Netflix straight up do not pay taxes. Like
right. Or underpay people under the guise of being
people.
Like, oh, this isn't traditional content. It's digital.
Totally.
So we're not going to pay union rates.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, where are you going to go for like entertainment and news of that kind? Like go to Vice. Vice has this weird alt-right thing. It's like really everything's got some crazy like shadow money behind it. So I've been, you know, working with this channel. They're a production company. They made like all these campaign videos. They made the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez campaign video, and now they want to make fucking TV shows.
Damn.
And I'm like, shit, yeah,
fuck yeah,
okay,
yeah.
And
so,
also probably way more sustainable than a corporation, which feels like they need to always like grow.
Yeah,
and,
I
right.
mean, the crazy thing is like Netflix is operating at a deficit. Hulu is operating. Hulu lost $1.5 billion
yeah.
last year.
Right,
they're just
right.
getting that money from Disney,
yeah.
and like So Means is very cool. They're trying to raise money through, it's like a subscription-based thing.
Sure.
And then they're also doing a fundraiser that starts on the 21st, so they're going to be releasing a bunch of content for like 10 weeks. On my YouTube channel, if you like Nyan Cat, if you are subscribed to my channel,
people don't know.
You're going to start getting this propaganda, baby.
People don't know. Sarah created Nyan Cat.
My YouTube channel is home to, you know, internet fave, Nyan Cat.
See?
And does it Nyan hold Cat up? I'm going to say yeah.
Can you describe Nyan Cat to
Nyan Cat people? Is an old meme.
Yeah.
Nyan Cat is a meme from 2011. It's like a gif of a cat, and it's, you know, dancing through space, and there's a song, and,
Rainbow,
mm-hmm. You know, your kids love it.
Yeah, you've seen it before.
Cosmo tried to cancel Nyan Cat.
Cosmo?
Yeah.
Tried to cancel
Nyan
Cat?
Yeah, they said Nyan Cat is canceled.
Cosmo the magazine?
Yeah.
Mm. Why'd they try to cancel Nyan Cat?
I don't know. They said very problematic.
Is that true?
Fuck you, Miles.
I feel like it's some shit where people are like, have you seen Nyan Cat? It does not hold up.
I thought I was in it. Want to feel old?
Right.
Just cut to Nyan Cat with like a swastika on it.
Yeah, like, right.
Oh,
right.
Shit. Right. We didn't notice that.
Like, oh, shit. Nyan Cat started watching other YouTube videos.
Too real. Yeah. Oh. So, I'm very excited about that.
That sounds
amazing. That's kind of like my big thing. It's kind of like, it's a weird pitch, you know?
No,
it's
but
a weird
it's dope.
It was like, what if Netflix wasn't like kind of evil?
Yeah, sure.
I'm excited about that, too. Yeah. That sounds awesome.
Check it out.
All right, guys, let's talk about Sody Pop, Pop,
finally.
Depending on where you're from, what century, because nobody calls it Sody Pop anymore, mm-hmm. I don't think. So SSBs is what we're referring to them now.
Excuse me?
Sugar-sweetened beverages.
Yes.
What about the carbonation part?
It's anything. It's not just soda. It's like the wild sugary drinks.
Okay, so
we're
just talking about sugar water.
Sugar waters, Gatorades even, you know.
Like
Gatorades?
Wacky juices. Totally. There's a lot of sugar in Gatorade.
Yeah. It's just sports drinks have
I mean, it's
sugar.
Not like as
well. Oh,
I brush my
clean.
Teeth with Gatorade. Yeah. Mm. Like, that's why I treat Gatorade as water.
I know. Mm. You take that mouth guard, you just put a little bit of Riptide Rush in there, and
Jack's
sleep
looking
with
a little
it.
Yellow. A little jaundiced.
Yeah. But yeah, dude. So this study comes out from Harvard. I think everyone had always known, our parents had always been like, soda's bad for you. And if you had an immigrant parent, they said that shit was the devil. My mom would never let me drink soda.
Same.
Yeah.
And I had to sneak off to my white neighbor's house to be like, can I have a Sprite?
Right.
Oh, you know when I got Coke? Birthday.
Oh, really?
Birthday, that's it.
What, like an 8-ball or just a gram? Pretty sick parenting. Yeah. Anyway, so this study comes out that basically was showing that like any, you know, depending on how many sodas you drink, the more you drink can increase your risks of dying from any cause. Not
every
just something
cause.
Specifically, just like in general, there's linking that to, you know, lower life expectancy. So they're saying, this is from this study. It says, compared to drinking sugar-sweetened beverages less than once per month, drinking 1 to 4 sugary drinks per month, that was linked with a 1% increased risk. 2 to 6 per week, 6% increased risk. 1 to 2 per day, 14% increased risk.
Who's drinking 1 to 2 sodas per day
a lot
in 2019?
A lot of motherfuckers are.
Really?
Yes.
So first question I had, does this transfer to diet sodas?
Okay, so cut to, there's a study from the American Heart Association that said, drinking
those never
two,
go well.
Drinking two or more of any kind of artificially sweetened drinks. So a caveat here is this: they've noticed that in the study that these drinks tend to affect women more than they do men.
Oh, thank God. Sorry.
Well, hold on to your butts, because just drinking two a day can increase your risk of a clot-based stroke or heart attack pretty significantly.
Shit.
Someone get me a damn 18-pack. I want
to
die.
Especially if you're over 50. So, again, these aren't like just saying, they're not saying to treat this as like a monolith, right? Like, everyone has different health situations, different exercise routines or whatever. But in general, they're just saying like, if you just let it rock and you're drinking wild sodas all the time, then maybe it will wear you down.
All I'm hearing from this is that this is a socially acceptable way to drink yourself to death.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Yeah, you won't shit yourself in public.
Yeah. You can go to work and drink sodas. Nobody says shit.
Right,
I'm
exactly.
Like, I'm pouring Coke in my whiskey bottle.
Yeah, right. You're like, ooh, ooh,
yeah.
Ooh.
More bad news for white people. Juice is also just sugar water, it turns out.
Do y'all not have moms? Is that what's going
no,
on? Do you guys just, do Americans just not have moms?
We just, I thought orange juice was just.
Juice?
Health.
Was this
health,
an orange? Was it eating orange
health
in liquid form?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, well, that's real bad for you.
I think also, though,
I'm over
too,
here drinking a big glass of yogurt.
I know. We got the kefir, whatever, or kefir, what do you call that? We don't know. We still don't know.
What's I don't know, man. My throat is too clogged up. It's so fucking moist.
You're so phlegmy.
I'm so phlegmy from this kefir. I can't believe you guys have kefir in the office. This is so luxurious.
We're out here. You know what I think it is, though? It's probably like our parents not like growing up outside of the United States. They grew up, especially my mom, mm-hmm. the U.S. bombed the shit out of Japan. So they're like, what are they doing over there?
Right.
Like soda? I don't know. Although now, yo, Japanese sodas are so fucking sweet.
Yeah.
It will it'll preserve your insides if that's a thing with sugar. But. Right.
But they treat it as like a novelty, like KFC. Well, yeah, like it's like not a daily staple of the diet.
Well,
right?
You know, on a continuum, people are gaining weight there because more sugary foods and more, you know, like processed foods are entering the Japanese diet. But, you know.
But culturally, like that's not a thing that you just like keep in your refrigerator.
Well, there's a lot more there's a lot more awareness of basic nutrition in pretty much almost every other country, and a lot of that I think has to do with poverty.
Right.
You know, it just has to do with like when you're poor and you only have a few things to eat, like you can't really fuck up, you know.
Yeah, you're not gonna be like, oh, let's get that fried cheeseburger.
And also, you know, like nutritionally speaking versus versus price, soda gives you like nothing, you know. It's just fun to drink. It's sugar, you know, tastes good. Yeah. But I
think soda companies target people like lower income communities with their marketing and assume that there's like an information desert and a nutrition desert. It happens in both ways, I think. But
And that's why it's the rise of the seltzer waters, basically.
But I honestly think that like white Americans like just having no sense of like that juice is bad or that soda is bad is just like there's no tradition that they're latched onto. It's also why our food is bad. It's like there's not a traditional.
Yeah, but everybody's eating unhealthy, though. I don't think white people own that solely.
But I'm
out here thinking, you know, my grandma thought juice was good too.
Right. I mean, juice is good. Like,
it's delicious.
I mean, if you're comparing juice to soda, obviously juice is better for you.
But not that much better.
Right. Well, it's like, you know, I feel like
it's juicy juice.
Yeah, every other culture in the world is like, oh, yeah, fruit is candy. You know, fruit is candy. And you also have candy, which is made of sugar. Right. But I guess like white American culture is sort of like fruit is a vegetable and candy is a food.
That's right. There you go. That's how I was raised and I'm sticking to it. We'll get into Fox and Friends later because they were drinking milkshakes in Times Square.
I cannot wait for
in the morning.
Conservatives to be drinking big gulps in protest of this cultural Marxism
to
against soda. Yeah, just straight up getting cancer to own the lips.
Oh, that's right. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Zeit Gang, customers are rushing to your store, but do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it, you know, like a literal POS? Well, you need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Connect with customers in line and online. Look, you want to use TikTok? Well, guess what? They have plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns on platforms just like that. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Now, I was looking at Shopify.com, and I'm trying to get some answers. Let's say, I had a bustling retail business, and I need, you know, maybe some hardware to be able to sell my wares on the street, take credit card payments, whatever. And I know Shopify is easy to use. Half the time I buy something online, I'm like, oh, yep, they're using Shopify. And if you need to learn more, check out their website. It's super easy to navigate, whether you have questions about how you can optimize your inventory or, again, looking for hardware to make sales easier. Shopify.com has all of that. Just go there. Check it out. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at Shopify.com/TDZ, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/TDZ to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/TDZ.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zeit Gang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
And we're back. And Devin Nunez is back in the headlines. He is suing his mom? No, okay, sorry. I misread kinda. That. I guess I didn't do enough research on this story. He's suing Twitter for $250?
$250 million.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Yes, like Magazine.
Right, because he thinks that Twitter was artificially holding him down. And
yep.
Oh, he's tweeting because he got shadow banned?
Yeah.
What he claims, which is the most like sensible part of his suit. Mm-hmm. The other parts of his suit are like, people were mean to me on Twitter.
Yeah. People tweeted at my mom.
Well, yeah. No. So here's the thing. He's suing Twitter. Mm-hmm. And then he's suing two anonymous Twitter users, at Devin Nunez's mom and at Devin's cow.
It's not my cow, dude.
A political consultant, her name's Liz Mayer, who's a Republican political consultant for and like all these accounts and this woman, Liz Mayer, he's suing them for defamation. Mm-hmm. And then accusing Twitter of shadow banning him and other conservatives. And then he's just saying like, oh, this is just the beginning. I am suing so many people. A lot of people are like, this is just a stunt. Because let's be real, this isn't going to hold up. Like, it's
you think you're the first person to sue Twitter,
right? Exactly, and also for defamation, you think people like it has to pass the first thing where people would be like, "Oh, this is at Devin Nunez's mom is actually at Devin Nunez's mom who says he has herp face." You know what I mean? And when you read the,
you are impersonating my mother, and this is a dead-on impression of my mother. There is no way,
right? And so he goes on, you know, more specifically, he's saying that Twitter, quote, intended to generate and proliferate false and defamatory statements about him and influence the midterms, was trying to intimidate him, during his investigations, blah, blah, blah. Everyone's just sort of laughing it off. Now, like, when you really look at some of the things, right, it's really absurd. Like, Devin Nunez's mom or Devin Cow, I can't remember, one of the anonymous accounts.
Devin Nunez's mom.
Posted, like, meme of, like, a human centipede with Putin at the top, then Trump, then Devin Nunez. And he was like, oh, this is defamatory. They're like, are you actually, y'all hooked up in a weird medical experiment like that?
Yeah.
Then points to tweets, like, from at Devin Cow, sadly. It says, hanging out on the dairy in Iowa looking for the little treasonous cowpoke is the bio of Devin Cow, which has 45,000 followers. Another one says, Devin's boots are full of manure. Oh, boy, God. You might go to jail, sir.
Yo, Fox News might report that his boots are full of manure.
Yeah, this other one, he's utterly worthless, and it's past your time to move him to prison.
All right, that deserves being sued. That's a bad one. Yeah, well, a bad one.
So these people are anonymous,
I don't think
right?
you got it. So it's move.
Does that change anything? Still
yes,
terrible joke.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, lazy pun. So he's going on, you know, saying, we have to figure out who's behind these accounts because, like, pretending to be my mother and my cow. He says, because, quote, the corruption of American democracy and society by intentional falsehoods, fraud, and defamation must stop. So
I'm so glad that the handle at Devin Nunes' mom is making it into a court document.
I know. But in the actual criminal, on the complaint in the lawsuit, it says the identity of those behind these Twitter accounts is a matter of great public concern, whether the accounts are controlled by wealthy Democrats, the Democratic National Committee, an opposition research firm such as Fusion GPS.
Oh. What?
I don't know. He's trying to say this, trying to connect us to the Steele dossier.
Yo, the DNC is not this good at Twitter. It's definitely not them.
No. And then it says, or, quote, the Russians, or, quote, the Chinese, with, quote, I don't know why it's quoted, or some other foreign government or non-governmental organization. The corruption, anyway, goes on, blah, blah, blah. So I like that he's even trying to be like, could be Fusion GPS. I don't know, y'all.
Yo, I don't know. I think the Koch brothers are tweeting at me.
Right. It's really, really.
So this is just a troll move, but it's a pathetic one.
Yeah and sad. Also, like, when you look at.
Sad.
When he talks sad. About, oh, you know, I'm getting shadow banned. Like, you know, when you actually look at, like, why the metrics are low for certain mm-hmm. people, Twitter has an algorithm in the wake of all the bottery that was going on.
Right.
That if, when debottery. You interact, yeah, debottery, thank you. when people interact with fringe accounts, what they consider fringe accounts repeatedly, mm-hmm. they say, oh, that's someone who's interacting with sensational fake news and is probably like, this isn't the kind of user that it's, that's sort of a fail safe to be like, that's how we're going to try and curb it because you're interacting with accounts. That are
yeah, you couldn't just remove the Nazis. That would be crazy.
No, of course. Oh, God. Right, yeah, but, right. But yeah, they did real good at getting rid of all those ISIS accounts, though.
So if you're interacting with bots, you get flagged. And yeah, because so many conservative accounts are bots and because they are parroting
or
the
their
same
followers
shit
are bots.
Right. Yeah, or retweeting bot tweets. Then they're right. like, yeah. oh, you're trying to amplify this user.
You might be a bot. Yeah. Yeah.
Got but avoiding even considering that and just being like, oh, I mean, look at what's that. We're getting deep stated.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because Jack Dorsey.
How's your day going, Devin? Ugh. Deep stated again.
Deep stated again.
Deep stated, bro. Ugh.
Someone's pretending to be my cow. I mean.
By the way. Someone's pretending to be my mom.
Somebody, my real cow is furious.
A journalist tried to look into. There was something with Devin Nunes' family claiming to be from California, but they actually own a dairy farm that they had moved to, I think, Iowa right. or Idaho. And a journalist tried to look into it, and Devin Nunes' actual mom and his actual cow, like, tried to intimidate this person and basically, like, start talking to people in the town to, like, tell them that they would be, like, in trouble. It was, like, very, like, menacing. They were, right. like, shadowing him everywhere and shit. Like, so the stuff that, again, just you always have to know whatever conservatives are accusing other people of, like, that is what they do. And bullying.
That's why they're so
sure
you're doing it.
She does that shit in real life. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and also, like, when you think about that dairy farm, there's a lot of, you know, they're like, they may be employing undocumented immigrants.
Yeah, that was kind of the idea behind the story is he was going to look.
Oh, like, to look into the dairy farm.
So this family just doesn't ever talk about the fact that Devin Nunes is their son. Like, it's wow. just, like, removed from all their documents. And he was
no
like,
wonder
that's
his mom's
weird.
Ashamed.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he went and looked into it. And
no wonder his cow is doing all this
yeah.
shit.
Yeah.
It's because he's, first of all, the family's not actually in California where he claims. And also his backstory about, like, being a pull himself up by his bootstraps thing is bullshit. And also they employ tons of undocumented workers. Mm.
And that's the paradoxical, you know, world we live in where people on one hand going to be like, oh, we got to do something about this. Like, and they're my employees,
yeah,
and
California,
exploiting their labor.
California Republicans and farm owners got a little bit of a bite in the ass
yeah.
from voting for Trump. They yeah. were like, wait a second. I thought you were going to take away the other illegal immigrants, not the ones that
there's other ones,
the ones at the border that are the rape ones. Huh?
right. Not right. the worker.
Not the, all my chattel.
Yeah.
My chattel.
It's really just, it's
pretty funny.
It's
I mean, it's a really yeah, good I, cell phone.
Yeah. No, honestly, it is. And then just to see the, like, response from his family to be like, we got to keep this under wraps. Don't tell anybody.
I mean, nothing says, you know, I murdered Devin's brothers and buried them in the cow shed, like, following around a reporter and being like, nothing's going on here.
Right.
Why don't you just go? And if you talk, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, oh, yeah. Man.
Sorry, boss.
Very normal family.
Yeah.
So I wanted to just check in with New Zealand in the response to the terror attack. There's been some interesting stories. First of all, there's the face blurring at the arraignment that I had assumed was, you know, them trying to just cover the person who did the killing up so that he wouldn't get the publicity that he was clearly after. I mean, he fucking live streamed the terror attack, but
Harity is dead.
Right. It's apparently they do that because they want to, like, there's a New Zealand law that says they have to do that in order to give the person a fair trial, which doesn't really make sense because you can still see his arms. Who it is. You can see his arms.
Even though the face was blurred, I'm like, he looks like a redheaded white person.
Right. White supremacist.
But I'm curious, like, what they would do if it was someone with darker skin. Like, right. What good does that do? Because if people's bias is going to be for, like, well, how dark are they?
You also know his name. So yeah, like, yeah. You know the story.
No, but I mean, in general, like, in any other case, right? If it were someone, like, if you're not fully obscuring, you can still glean,
yeah,
like.
Also, like, everybody that makes it onto a jury knows what you did. I mean, what? Well, the weird.
I mean, look, I think any
they're
attempt to try and curb bias, you know, I think is commendable.
A good one, by the way, on the upside down.
Thank you.
But
the earth is round. Okay.
Yeah, nice try.
Well,
their prime minister, though, is not mentioning his name when discussing the terror attack because, you know, in kind of keeping with the idea that this is what he and his cause want is for people to rally around him.
Right.
So that's kind of dope. And I think.
Yeah, and he was flashing the white power sign at his arraignment.
Right.
Like, fuck out of
exactly.
Here.
And then another kind of angle that people have taken in covering the attack is looking at gun laws, because New Zealand has said we're going to make our gun laws stricter. And so they've compared New Zealand's gun laws to Japan's and the United States.
Oh, come on, that's cheating. Those are other countries.
They did like 16 different countries. And it's pretty wild. Like, so New Zealand is basically the most lax besides the United States, and they have a 7-step process. Pass a background check, provide a character reference, authorities interview or advise in person your partner or next of kin. You pass a home security inspection that checks for proper firearm storage, take a gun safety course, wait for approval for a firearms license, which could take weeks or months, and then number 7, you get to buy a gun.
I think what's interesting, though, is in part of that background check does look at your medical and mental health history.
Right.
Whereas even like the U.S. background check is like, are you a criminal or immigrant?
Right.
Well, you know, that's kind of a like, that's a, to me, a gray area of gun law that I am like not really sure how I feel about it. Because it's like, all right, if you're just gonna, you know, everybody who's ever had mental health issues, you know, that's a health thing.
Oh,
you
sure,
know what
sure.
I mean?
I
so it's
think...
like it kind of skirts the line for me of like policing what kind of people can have guns and what kind of people can't. But I also see the sense in it, absolutely.
I think
know?
If you take it in like in its totality, right? It's like, yeah. Oh, you have, you know, some kind of mental health issues with a history of domestic violence. And
right.
Like, ooh, that
yeah.
is.
Yeah, but there's yeah. plenty of mental illness that doesn't like involve, I don't know, maybe not.
I know what you're saying. Like, not to know? Just immediately be like, okay, you, just because of this, you may have suffered from depression or something,
yeah.
that therefore.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think either way, I think because the US version, what, is just step 1, pull up with cash, 2,
yeah.
buy
yeah.
gun.
Yeah.
I'm anti-stigmatizing mental health, but I err on the side of police state when it comes to giving people guns.
Funny
you know,
you should say police, because I mean that's like, you know, there are 2 ways to get a gun in the U.S. 1,
right.
pull up, buy a gun. 2,
become
police.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, you just get a gun. They just give you a gun. They, like, don't do shit, you know? It's, like, really easy to, like, join ICE or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
They'll just give you a fucking gun.
American civilians own nearly 100 times as many firearms as the U.S. military and nearly 400 times as many as law enforcement.
Wait, say that first part again?
American civilians
yeah.
own 100 times as many firearms as the military and 400 times as many as law enforcement. So
power to the people. You
yes.
getting some thoughts.
Japan yeah. has a 13-step process that involves training, and it's basically the equivalent
they get
of
more. They get more like Japanese civilians get more gun training than American police officers do.
Right. And also like it's on par with what you need to learn to drive, which you would
makes
right.
sense.
Firearm
right.
class. Boom. Get a doctor's note saying you're mentally fit and you're not a drug addict. 3, apply for a permit. Take firing training. Could take
right.
a month. Describe in a police interview why you need a gun. I think that's fair.
Yeah.
Pass a review of your criminal history, gun possession record, employment, blah, blah, blah. 6, apply for a gunpowder permit. Damn, you got to be like, yo, You need the permit for the powder too, my
right.
Guy. Seven.
It's like that
take
Chris Rock bit.
Yeah, right. Take a 1-day training class and pass a firing test. Then obtain a certificate from a gun dealer describing the gun you want. Then, if you want a gun for hunting, apply for a hunting license. Then buy a gun safe and an ammunition locker that meets safety regulations. Allow the police to inspect your gun storage. Pass an additional background review. Then buy a gun.
Yeah,
sounds pretty chill.
But you know they have a lot of airsoft guns out there. That
really?
Looks so. Oh my man! As a kid, I was like. Phew. The Matrix came out. I was like, I need all these.
No, my brother had an airsoft gun.
Yeah. And then, like, I remember bringing him back. The like, TSA was like, what is going on in your luggage?
Oh, yeah. Well, didn't...
I'm like, it's a prop.
There was a... Who can remember, but there was a guy that was killed. Was it the guy in the Walmart? He was, like, carrying an airsoft gun around. There was a black guy in a Walmart carrying an airsoft gun, no, and they just shot him in the back.
No, an airsoft gun... Like, and there's been a few problems here, too, because... They had to like orange tip even like the imports that were coming from Japan because too many people like they have real very hyper basically very realistic weapons.
Yeah.
Realistic.
What's crazy
ones.
Is like I think they you know they try and make airsoft guns look more threatening because it's like for the game, but it just makes it look like you have a fucking gun.
Yeah. And I think in Japan because you can't really get firearms that easily, like there's just like this secondary like culture of being like we team up, we shoot our little plastic BBs and shit,
right?
And we play you know dress up.
Yeah,
we don't need real bang bangs.
Right, right. Seems fair. It seems like I don't know.
How do you guys feel about guns? What do you?
I grew up around guns and responsible gun owners who like drilled into me to respect firearms.
Yeah.
So on one hand, I definitely understand people who use guns and own guns and are responsible with them, or like, yo, like I'm not one of these people fucking it up.
Yeah.
And then on the other hand, I see many people who are totally reckless, people who should not be having weapons or certain kinds of weapons. And I'm like, where the fuck do we? I feel that at the very least, we have to begin some process of limiting the means for people who are going to have a high probability of using guns violently.
Right.
For sure. I think as like a first step, you can then figure out. I mean, I don't know how you could possibly de-arm the country, like that's just not going to happen.
I don't think that's going to happen. Jack, how do you feel?
From a theoretical perspective, I think the idea of gun ownership like drastically overestimates how mentally stable like humans are. Like, I don't think people should be able to have guns.
Guns are just out of our like technology.
You should be able to like go down to a clubhouse and like talk to somebody and be like, okay, here's why I want the gun, here's what I'm going to use it for. But like to have it like just for suicide alone, like people make rash decisions and end their life when like if they had waited 2 minutes they would have not ended their life. So I just don't think they should.
We just got to press rewind.
Yeah.
Rewind a little bit. I mean, go back to like muskets.
Practically speaking, I don't think there's anything we can do, but from a theoretical perspective, right. Like that's where I stand. I don't think
Pandora's
exist.
Box has been blown the fuck open. Yeah. So, right. I mean, especially when you read that stat, like 400 times the weapons of the military. Or yeah, of the, gotta, of
I don't
law
know if
enforcement.
You guys know this, but we have a pretty big military.
Yeah, and like, damn, still got it by 100?
Yeah, it's always interesting to me when people compare, you know, how easy it is to get a gun in America than in other countries, because America, as far as I know, is the only country, you know, within our charter. Like the right to own a gun is like one of our founding values.
Yeah.
The whole like, I mean, you know, we're a colony that rebelled and we couldn't have rebelled unless we had a bunch of fucking guns and could shoot the government. You know, that was like how America became its own country.
Mm-hmm.
But I did not grow up with guns. Like I'm from California, you know, like
No, me too.
I'm not from the country and I didn't grow up with guns. I didn't know anybody who had a gun.
Right.
And then I moved to Texas and everybody has 5 guns and they were all their great grandfathers, you know?
Right.
Right.
And it was really interesting to see like, you know, people that I would consider real normal, like honestly, not even people that were into hunting or anything like that. You know, stuff that I'm not involved in, hobbies that I don't have that involve guns, just being like, yeah, you know, like, guns on the wall even. And it's like, so it was a real trip for me to see like how much guns are embedded in white American culture.
Yeah.
Particularly. And you know, the idea that we should disarm everybody but the police is problematic to me because it's like I said, it's not that hard to become a police officer. So like if let's say it was like we passed strong gun control in America, which I don't think is going to happen. But let's say we repeal the Second Amendment and everybody has to give their gun back. And the only people that get to have a gun are the cops. Everyone that wants a gun is just going to become a cop, you know?
Right.
Again, it's not that fucking hard to become a cop. Like, they'll just give you a gun. You know?
I mean, people don't have guns. The cops don't need guns. That's the issue.
But will the cops also be disarmed?
Yeah. No, that's what I'm saying.
With a repeal of the Second Amendment?
Yeah. I mean, in the UK and in, like, Ireland, like, cops don't have guns.
Well, they do. They just have, like, there's, like, yo, call.
There's, like, one
call Constable Richards.
Right.
He's got that thing
on. There is a gun that you can get access to.
Yeah, because, like,
it's
like
one gun for every police station.
Well, recently, I mean, Japan was like that, too. And I see more and more people, the cops there have, you know, like, little 38s on them, but.
And it's not just about the availability of guns, but about the training. Because, like, police aren't – it's not just that police are armed. It's that they're trained to treat every situation like –
like life or death.
Like life or death. Like, it could turn super deadly at any time, which is why they're shooting people in the back and, you know, seeing a guy pull out a cell phone and saying, well, that's probably a gun, and shoot him, you know, 40 times.
The most important book, like, for informing my position on guns is this book that has nothing to do with guns, but it's called Incognito, and it's about, like, how the – human mind works, and it's like 90% of our, like, decision making process happens in an unconscious part of our brain that we don't have access to. Mm-hmm. So, like, it's like you don't, like, nobody is as in control of their own thought process as they think they are. They're a lot of the time we're just telling ourselves a story to explain, like, the shit that is coming out of the black box that is our unconscious mind. So,
I got, like, a gun in the black box,
right? Yeah, boom. Exactly.
Manifest it.
All right, we're going to take another quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. And Fox and Friends was being Fox and Friends on Tuesday. They set up a nice folksy diner that was like from the 50s. The only thing that was missing was the whites only sign on the
and a roof.
Little soda jerk bar. And a roof. Yeah, they just like basically set up a like a Disney style diner from the 1950s in the middle of Times Square.
America pops again.
You should have seen it at like 6:45 in the morning. They were showing people sitting around tables or whatever. Everyone's bundled the fuck up because it's cold.
Fucking freezing.
And then they had like those like stainless steel malt cups in front of them, like people drinking milkshakes at 6. Like,
I love an ice cold milkshake at 6:45 in New York City.
And people were like so uncomfortable, but they were like going around, be like, "Hey, we're just talking to the people, you know, getting some ideas." And man, they were doing a lot on Tuesday. It was impressive, what was going on. First up, you know, I think because in light of the terrorist attack in Christchurch. When attacks like this happen, the thoughts and prayers memes come out, and they're like, "Oh, what's good with your thoughts and prayers?"
That's a good point. Did they, before they even started talking about like changing the gun laws, did they try thoughts and prayers in New Zealand?
Here's the thing.
Like
about,
I said, they're backwards. They're going to pass the gun laws and then do thoughts and prayers.
Okay.
Might not work. So they had Joel Osteen on to again defend the power of prayer. Just listen to this whole thing. We'll talk about it.
Following a tragedy like the mosque attacks in New Zealand, our next guest explains why the power of prayer isn't about results, it's about an ongoing relationship with God and combating hate. So what do you make of people who say, you know what, in times of tragedy, like the horrific tragedy in New Zealand, if you pray, it doesn't achieve results, so what's the point? What advice do you give to people who say that?
You know, I believe it does achieve results. You know, when you pray, God gives you strength, He gives you peace, and, you know, it moves the hands that I believe rule the world. So I believe it is, you know, prayer. I've seen prayer in my own life, so I'm a believer in it.
It's not about results.
Right.
It's about combating hate in an ongoing relationship.
I'm sorry, is this a news channel still?
Yeah, that's a news.
Are we talking about a news channel?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, this is a morning news show. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We got Joel Osteen.
Osteen.
On this
Osteen. Respect. The man who turned his back on people when they needed some shelter.
On this morning news show, assuring viewers that prayer is not about the destination, it's about the journey.
Exactly.
Right.
But also a very disingenuous opening to that.
Right. The cynicism, like it's just a very cynical argument strategy where you assume the dumbest possible version of your opponent's argument.
Right.
So you're like, well, when they say they don't want our thoughts and prayers, they're saying that God doesn't exist.
Oh, that prayers don't work?
Right.
Yeah. No. We're saying, sure, thoughts and prayers, but we need like substantive action legislation.
Right. Yeah, yes. No one's saying prayer doesn't make you feel better.
Pray.
Everybody agrees on
but,
that.
You know,
pray
that's how they
and
gotta
meditate
pivot.
And listen to the voice in your head telling you that you should change your fucking values, you fuck.
Joel.
I've never heard
Joel.
Such fucking blasphemous bullshit
in
my life.
Again, but that's why, you know, they have those people on so they feel like, you know, they're unassailable.
Right.
These people are odd. This man is a authority.
Just watch
on
the
prayer.
Damn church channel. They have a channel.
Yeah. Well, here, look. That's not all they did. Okay. Then they got a whole group of wealthy white people together to just talk about kind of like
again
how powerful, like how Trump's just killing it with the economy and like
absolutely
how like you know people on the left are really distracted or deflecting. Just listen to this one too.
When you have a booming economy and you have policies like lowering taxes and deregulating and all of these things being so successful to the American people, and they can feel it. They can feel it in their pocketbooks. They can feel it at their dinner tables.
False.
How do Democrats say, you know what? No, we want to flip all of that and do a 180 and give you the exact opposite. How does that make any sense?
The way you run against it, sadly, you go after some of the more emotional issues, right? I mean, you hear all the cries about racism, et cetera. That is exactly the tactic that they will use.
Deflection.
Because, I mean, look.
Yeah. Yo, welcome to my new store, Racism, Etc., where
we're
horribly
sit,
dismissive about real issues.
Sit around all day and we just cry and cry about racism. I cannot, you know, every day I walk down the street, people are trying to give me money. They say, my economy is booming. I am making so much money. Please take some. Please have a job. And I say, I cannot. I am too distracted by racism and emotional issues.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I have too much monies, actually.
Yeah.
But I'm also, again, it's a real, like, I think they were just trying to give their viewers, like, an update about, like, I know logic is telling you all these things are bad,
right?
That you're hearing.
Well, it's because they're, you know, I mean, I think it's because the left is making strides with old people who are a conservative grab bag, you know, by saying, wouldn't it be cool if you got Medicare your whole life?
Right.
You know, if people tried to repeal Social Security or Medicare, which are the most popular social programs ever implemented in the U.S., you know, there's a lot of but Bernie's campaign and is trying to compare him to FDR, you know, because they're trying to draw the Green New Deal is called the Green New Deal. You know, it's not called the Green New fucking Socialist Revolution.
The Green, like, Lit Plan.
Yeah. the Green fucking Blaze. Like, they're trying to, like, kind of rebrand the left as something that takes care of people. And young people and old people, not surprisingly, are pretty into that idea of, like, getting shit for free and getting taken care of for the taxes you pay. Well, and so I think, I mean, I really think conservatives are feeling that hit because their viewers are, in their own polls, saying that they support higher taxes on people who have more than $100 million.
Right. And
Fox,
like,
News is like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. And think about this. Like you said, it's gaining traction with young people, like, you know, millennials, right?
Yeah.
But they were very – they had another whole fucking segment where they wanted to dismiss millennials because we're, like, way too stressed out about dumb shit. Listen to this.
Are a millennial, Miles?
If you were born, 82 to 98 or something?
Something like that.
Interesting.
Yeah. I'm going to say born pre-9/11. I think anyone born after 9/11 is Gen Z.
Okay.
That's my definition.
That's fine. I mean, look, it's all, if you know Michael Keaton as the original Batman, you're old ass millennial. That's how I look at it. Now, so this is them just bringing up a really wacky poll. I've not heard of the people who ran this poll, but this is them being like, millennials are way stressed out. And listen to their list of things that stress millennials out.
Okay.
Listen to this. Number one, losing your wallet or credit card. Number two, arguing with a partner. Number three, the commute. Number four, losing a phone. Five, arriving late to work. Six, slow Wi-Fi. Seven, phone battery dying. Eight, forgetting passwords, credit card fraud, or forgetting your phone charger. It's all about the smartphone. Without the smartphone, they're not so smart.
That's right. So, I mean, look, it tells me that we live in the greatest country on the face of the planet. If this is my generation's biggest concerns, then we're doing good.
Yeah, it's not climate change or mounting debt or not being able to enter the workforce or upward mobility or things like that.
Yeah, or, you know, trying to GoFundMe all your medical bills,
right,
or, you know, not having a job or not having education or being crushed with student debt.
Mm-hmm. Or, you know, systemic racism. It's slow Wi-Fi.
None of those things. It's slow Wi-Fi that I truly crave.
Yeah. No, it's just, like, again, that was their attempt, I guess, to try and be like, and see, I mean, look at the people who are even supporting this. Like, they're the snowflakes who get freaked out because they lost their wallet.
Right.
Somebody take his wallet and phone away
and see how stressed he is.
Oh,
man.
He would fall the fuck apart.
They would all fall apart. Everybody has a damn smartphone. Like, this is, we've got a rate of technology. Like, sometimes I don't really know if old people understand how much technology they are simply not aware of that Gen Z and millennials have to deal with all the time. Because, like, we're the young people.
Right.
We're the ones that have to give a shit when there's a new app, you know? Like, we have to deal with this shit. Old people just don't know. And they're like, it's so stupid that they care about their smartphones. It's like, you can't get a job without a smartphone. Of course I care about my fucking smartphone.
Yeah, but also
I drive a Lyft,
right,
you know?
I think frame this list as somehow being indicative of what the values are of millennials to be, like, dismissive of it. Or be like, I mean, if the guy was like, I mean, look, this shows you we're the greatest generation.
Yeah,
I mean, the greatest country of all time. I mean, if my generation, this is what they're mad about. Trump's doing a great job.
Yeah.
Essentially is what they're all trying to say.
Yeah, totally.
I'm so confused by the story because the top two things are losing your wallet, which would apply to everyone.
Literally everyone.
And arguing with your partner, which would apply to everyone. But
then
they try to, like, after this.
They also say credit card fraud, and then they just kind of dismiss it. It's
right.
Like, yeah, the fact that everyone's stressed out by credit card fraud, like, that's a real thing.
Yeah, and after that clip cut off, one of them was like, well, I think the argument with your partner thing is actually about them using
the
social
phone.
Media.
Right.
Because, like, they don't have actual values, or, like, it was very confusing.
If that was a real list, talking to real millennials, eating ass would be on that list.
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
everybody
sure.
knows that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's gospel for this generation.
Right. Rumor spread that you're bad at eating ass.
Yeah, exactly.
Number three, for
being
sure.
Being defamed on Twitter by my cow.
Yeah, right.
That is my number one concern.
That's right.
I'm a prey for Fox and Friends.
Yeah. Having a fire tweet go unnoticed. Oh, my goodness.
Movie Pass.
Why?
They're back.
I don't know why. This is the Oh, I saw the headline. I'm like, why?
MoviePass is going to outlive us all.
MoviePass is stressing me out.
Thank you. That should be on the list.
MoviePass giving me anxiety.
We got a new list. MoviePass, number one. Fire tweet not going viral. Two, eating ass.
Number three. Devin Nunez cow talking shit number about four. Me online. Number four.
Anyway, so like they're coming back and they're doing the thing that got everyone in love with them, which is the unlimited plan. You know, right. See a movie every day. It's up to you. Do what you got to do. But
do what you got to do we to don't, get through.
Yeah, we don't know what happened because last time we checked, Jack, remember there was that article that like they were basically running out of like a broom closet.
A dentist's office, yeah.
Yeah.
Here's the cool thing about MoviePass is whenever you read about MoviePass, the story has to start out with admitting that money is fake. It's like, so you know how like money is fake?
Right. Right.
MoviePass is back.
These credits?
I bet you wondered how MoviePass makes money. Well, they don't. But they're also very rich. It turns out money is fake.
Right, essentially.
What the fuck?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, like, when you look at it, right? So they're doing, for a whole year, you could do $119 and you get the whole year free, okay? Yeah. Or $14.95 month to month. But they still haven't really given details of how they're going to avoid all the fuck-ups that happened last time. Remember, like, they're like, oh, y'all can't watch Mission Impossible Fallout. Like,
right.
They were like top movies. They're like, but you can see Gotti.
Excuse me?
You can see Gotti starring John Travolta, which I watched on Prime Video.
Oh, did you?
It's the bomb.
Oh, wow.
Drop the bomb, Nick, please.
Gotti on Prime.
Thank you. It was terrible. Now, so they say, like, in this article, Navy Club said the details remain vague for now, but apparently there will be no limit on how many 2D movies you can see. When it comes to what movies will be available, see, that's where it gets tricky. In Business Insider, they write that the new unlimited plan could place restrictions on subscribers' title choices based on their location, day of movie, time of movie, title, and the individual user's historical usage.
Sounds pretty limited.
Hmm. Yeah, so suddenly it's like, yeah, unlimited. But here's some
limited
little caveats.
Factors. Here's what we're going to take into account.
So to me, this sounds like a last-ditch effort to get a few more suckers on board before the full-on death spiral goes down.
Yeah, it seems like we already learned what we needed to know about MoviePass, which is they are an unsustainable business, and the only ways that they're going to be able to convince people to invest in them is either fucking people over, like by limiting what they can actually see, or by selling your data.
Booming economy. Yeah, that's right. What we got.
Exactly.
Boom, boom, boom. I want you in my room.
This sell is just too hard.
Right.
I can see all the shitty movies I want, except I can't see any of the shitty movies I want, and right. I have to pay $100 at once.
Yeah.
Oh, right, because then they were seeing...
This is a great deal.
They were tracking, like, they know you're going to the theater, and then, like, through GPS, they can know, like, what businesses you go after, and they can start really building a profile. I'm like, oh, these are the habits of a movie viewer.
Anytime a deal seems too good to be true, it is.
Now it makes sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now it makes sense. They don't make money on the movies. They make money on selling your data to other advertisers who track you via GPS and see what stuff you go to. Well, that makes a lot of sense.
But who knows if they have enough... But see, I think they were doing that already, but they didn't have enough money to keep it going.
No, exactly.
Well, they got to just sell more data.
Yeah.
You know, they got to sell it to the point that people find out.
Hey, Google, right. Holler at them.
They've made some change on the back end that you're not immediately aware of, but that we'll eventually find out about after you've signed up, if you do sign up, that is incredibly invasive and fucks you over in some way. Like, that's the only way that this is happening.
Yeah.
So- that or that highlight reel of movies that they were showing around.
What?
That was my favorite detail.
Dude, when
from
the journalist went, he was like, oh, here, like, you know, we're revamping. We're trying to do MoviePass 2.0. He's like, yo, show them the video real quick.
Yeah.
And it was just this montage of just like moments from film, no explanation. It's like, dude, remember Titanic, dude? Remember King of the World? Remember Matrix? And they're just like these like empty moments.
Are these movies on MoviePass?
No, it's just like old, just like to be like, remember like, cinema? Like,
yo, movies are great.
Yeah,
exactly.
Movies are sick,
remember
right?
Movies wow. Was there.
Hey, so can I sign you up, man? You got 20 million or what? They're like, what?
Okay.
Do you guys remember that? Remember when Trump came out with like an action movie trailer about him and like Kim Jong-un?
Yes.
Boy, time really flies.
Time really flies. That, you know, it hasn't even been a fucking year since that shit went down.
Because
that was in
just,
May, I think, of
I
last
mean,
year.
It was, people were talking about it for maybe 2-3 days.
That can't be true.
No, it's
what do you mean?
It's true.
That was less than a year ago?
The Singapore thing was in May.
That seems like that was in my 20s.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, back in 2010.
It all seems like it was in our 20s, Jack.
Yeah, just the other day.
Shit. Time, huh?
Let's check in with some good old-fashioned scammers, guys. Do you guys remember the GoFundMe homeless scam?
Oh, certainly.
Oh, yeah, where the woman was like, I was stranded on the roadside.
this homeless guy gave me money.
Homeless man came up and was like, yo, it's too dangerous out here. Let me go walk this gas canister and fill it up for you with my last couple bucks.
Damn.
And she posted that story. That's the one we're talking about?
Yeah, yeah. That's
okay.
The one.
And then
they were like, GoFundMe for Johnny. He's a homeless guy, but he's one of the good ones.
Right.
Yeah, and we would like to give him some money. And everyone was like, yes.
Yes.
They raised over $250,000 from that. And then it got messy.
And now Johnny is still poor. Sorry.
Yeah. No, well, what was wild is essentially that was a scam where they're like, okay, let's set up this little
moment. So was the guy in on the scam?
They were in on it. So it was this woman, her boyfriend, and the dude who was like the Good Samaritan, quote unquote.
Oh,
and
my God.
They put him up to be like, look at this man. He was so selfless. They got two. They're like, let's give him some money to get him back on his feet.
Yeah.
Over $250K.
Those people, though.
No, see, that's the thing. They were sitting on it, and there was a dispute where, like, the dude was like, yo, they're not giving me the money.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, he's, you know, we're afraid he's going to use it for drugs, so we're doling it out to him. But really, they were all in on it. And then he started blowing up the whole scam, being like, yo, y'all just bought a new BMW.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, what is this?
Also, this was a scam.
Right. And then also, it had to be like, yo, this, God, you're going to make me do it. But because if I can't get this money, then I'm just going to make this whole thing go down.
Yeah.
You can't go in on a scam with someone and immediately fuck them over while people are still looking at you.
Yeah.
Come on. That is, and now they're going to prison.
Yeah.
Why we're talking about
it. Well, yeah, because they have now had to plead guilty in court to conspiracy. So the man, his name is Johnny Bobbitt.
Damn.
Great last name.
That name is just making waves.
Yeah, John Bobbitt.
They're crushing it.
Pleaded guilty to conspiracy to commit money laundering. And then the woman behind it, Caitlin McClure, she pleaded guilty to a charge of conspiracy to commit wire fraud. And, you know, they could see some 20 years for her, 10 years for him, respectively.
Mm-hmm. That's pretty wild.
All for, yeah, because people want... That's the thing, you know, when you want to exploit people's, you know.
I admire the hustle. I mean, they're out here. They figured out a little thing to exploit. They should have figured out how to
I'm
do it without
committing
wire fraud.
I'm just glad that all of the
fraud.
Shareholders of GoFundMe are making a sweet little 5% off of all of this scamming.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. They're like, how much do you want to give GoFundMe? Right. You want to give 10? You want to give 5?
Yeah, yeah. Give more. It's for a good cause. One of the hosts of Pod Save America is like a shareholder in GoFundMe. Like he's like one of the big investors in GoFundMe, which is really great because like 1/3 of GoFundMe is medical bills. And he's like, So I'm not totally sure about Medicare for all. What about Medicare for some? And everyone's like, you make money off people not having medical care and like straight up crowdfunding.
Right. Hmm. Interesting. Oh, Dan Pfeiffer.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so he was VP of GoFundMe.
Was he really?
Until 2017.
Mm-hmm.
Dan Pfeiffer
yeah.
was?
Mm-hmm. And then now he continues to have a financial stake in the company. I think. I have to look into this more.
But
based off of just cursory research.
All right, Dan.
GoFundMe is not, you know, it works for some. And, you know, they made, what was it, $52 billion last year? Like, or GoFundMe raised $52
billion.
Right, right. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's always a fun, like... That's always a fun point in the like, you know, how would we pay for like Medicare for everybody? How are we going to pay for it? And it's like people are already fucking paying for it. They're
right.
just doing it through GoFundMe and
right.
giving Dan Pfeiffer 5%.
Right.
Oh, Dan.
Oh, Dan.
Sarah. Yeah, it's because they are. I mean, from the last few times I heard them talk about single payer stuff, they're like pushing back.
They're pushing. Well, heavy. Because when it was just like a, you know, kind of a fringe issue, they were like, well, I don't know. And now like Kamala Harris is on board with it and stuff. And they're like, maybe they'll push for it sometimes, but then, you know, they've got their reasons for not like
right.
health insurance lobbyists affect every politician, not just Republican politicians.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some of them are, some of them aren't.
Yeah.
It's a shame too, because man, there's so many times like GoFundMe, like it's a good place to actually help
totally.
People. But
so,
then,
I mean,
but it's like anything
caring
here.
Is the same. And you know,
yeah.
there's like a bunch of funding sites like that. And it's like,
but
yeah, there is the aspect when you give the money to GoFundMe, you're trying to give money to your friend or your friend's dog or whatever the fuck, you know, like
right.
somebody who you think deserves it. You're not like trying to give money to the guy who made a website where they push money around.
Someone who will wisely invest it like your friend's dog.
Oh.
There you go. Sorry, June. It's been a pleasure having you.
It's been
as always.
Being on the show, always.
Where can people find you?
People can find me on Instagram at HeySarahJune, or you could go to HighPriestessComedy.com if you want to come to my comedy show in Los Angeles. It is Saturday, March 23rd at 8 p.m., HighPriestessComedy.com.
There you go.
It's a great show. It's going to be super fun.
High.
Get high.
Even.
And then get your tarot read.
Oh, High
or
Priestess.
Just hang out. Yeah,
I
get it.
Is there a tweet or any... act of social media you've been enjoying?
I'll just do two tweets, and both of them are from Raghav Mehta, who was a New York comedian who died this week. Not a personal friend of mine, friends with many of my friends, mm-hmm. very big hit to the scene, and I just want to read two of his tweets. One, and this was his last tweet. Okay, but how do we know Penis CK isn't just a Martin Urbano character? That one goes out to Raghav Mehta. And the other Raghav tweet I really enjoyed is Nancy Pelosi is Lena Dunham of Congress. Fucking cold. So that's cold that's blooded. My little RIP, you know, for a very valuable part of the New York comedy scene who is sadly no longer with us.
God damn, man.
Sorry to go out on a low note, but his handle is at ACLU official, which still funny, baby.
Oh,
still
man.
Funny.
That's amazing. Miles, where can people find you?
Find me, follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. There was a tweet I liked. It was sort of a reply to another tweet from the QAnon Anonymous podcast where they talked about how, you know, there was a New York, like a crime boss, Frank Cali, who was like shot and killed in Staten Island.
Yeah.
And that this recently? Guy, yeah, like last week, this dude at his arraignment, he like held up his hand and he had like QAnon shit written on his hand and like
the guy
MAGA
who
forever,
shot
the guy
the
who killed
boss.
The mob what? Boss.
Outside of his front yeah. door.
And the people were like, yo, what's the motive here? Like, because this isn't like a normal gangland. Anyway.
And then he turned around and showed his ass and it was a pizza.
Well, anyway, so that story is still kind of ongoing, but this reply underneath, someone just goes, tags Marvel, goes, hey, at Marvel, I'd like to pitch a new series where the Punisher spends 11 hours a day watching YouTube videos. Oh, too real. And then this is from Chip Hinkleman, you know, who writes for Mike Huckabee, or, you know, that's what he says.
Mike yes. Huckabee?
But it's like a joke account. Anyway, but at Chip Hinkleman says, my office is inundated on a daily basis with dozens of renderings of Mike Huckabee in every position of a human centipede. Unlike at Devin Nunes, we've decided not to take legal action and instead double down on our core mission to create wildly inventive A-plus goofs and gags. All right, Chip Hinkleman.
Fucking rules. That's really good.
Great comedy writer for a great comedian.
And also, TeePublic is having a sale for the first time ever. They are taking 35% off all the merch. That is 35 plus a percent sign off merch. That is a huge sale. So you want that new Zeitgang shirt? Yes, there's a new Zeitgang shirt. Also, get ready because that Campus Wars veteran t-shirt might be coming soon too. So keep your eyes peeled to the TeePublic site, baby, because they're doing that sale. And please buy the merch because that helps keep the lights on.
You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. A couple tweets I liked. Banana Fana Felisa tweeted, all in favor of calling a single sheep a shoop, say aye. And I really like that idea. And then Sean Clements tweeted, Twitter suggesting all these dumb changes when they only need to make one change. Follow Me by Uncle Cracker should play automatically every time you see my tweets. And you can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode.
Exclusive feed note.
As well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what's that?
This is from Wild Nothing, which is a project from this guy, Jack Tatum. And it's just got like this wild retro vibe. It makes me feel like I'm in a, you know, a convertible going on PCH with the top down.
Let's
wearing
vape.
A white fucking jacket. You know what I mean?
I know vaping. Exactly what you mean.
Exactly. And it's just got that old school vibe to it, that 80s vibe, that synth. I don't know what it, I don't know how to describe
play
it, but it will make you feel warm. So this is called Partners in Motion by Wild Nothing.
All right, we're going to ride out on that. We will be back tomorrow because it is a daily podcast and we will talk to you guys then.
Where's my bar at? Caught you in the dollhouse, drinking coffee with your new wife. How is your new life? Swiping through headlines. How do you find the time? You two look very nice. Silver in your eyes. The sin is connected. Red and white.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get.
But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Measure that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at CedarPoint.com.